Tim Versalotti, what do we make of the Massachusetts role in the presidential election?
What we see in terms of Massachusetts in the presidential election, a tremendous get-out-the-vote effort on behalf of Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts helps to drive up the turnout and the vote totals in a way that blue states became a little more cognizant of late in the cycle. The prospect of the president losing the popular vote and gaining the advantage in the Electoral College would raise all sorts of potential not legal issues of legitimacy, but perceived issues of legitimacy. And so it became important for Obama to run up some big numbers in blue states. And so we had fairly healthy turnout in Massachusetts, and that may have contributed. Massachusetts also provided sort of a hometown take on former Governor Mitt Romney in terms of his national candidacy. He would speak in terms of his ability to work across the aisle in Massachusetts toward the end of the election cycle. He was talking about his achievements in Massachusetts. And then the press could turn to folks in Massachusetts and say, well, is that really how it worked? Is that really how it happened? And so,
Here's
a great example. In the second debate, when the candidates were talking about what can you do for women, and former Governor Romney spoke of his experience coming into office in 2003, looking at candidates for his cabinet and saying, where are the women candidates?
I remember that.
Brought the infamous binder full of women, as he said.
And he said he asked for a binder full
That's
of women
correct.
And that could do the job. And it turned out that he hadn't asked for anything, that they had given it to him.
That's right, that an advocacy organization had put together a file of candidates, female candidates, who would be terrific for his administration. So that sort of fact-checking, that sort of reality check was the role that Massachusetts played in presidential politics in this cycle.
Would Elizabeth Warren have won without Obama in the race?
It's hard to say. It definitely drives up turnout. Her challenge was to hang on to as many Obama supporters as she could. Scott Brown's mission was to peel away as many as he could. And we saw in the final pre-election polls about 10% of Obama voters were splitting their tickets. But we had this coordinated turnout effort between the Warren Senate campaign, the State Democratic Party, and Obama for America. And that certainly made the difference in terms of turnout and driving up Elizabeth Warren's margin of victory. She won by 8 points, so she might have still prevailed, but I don't think it would have been the decisive victory that we saw in the general election.
So if Martha Coakley, the state attorney general, was so soundly routed by Scott Brown, what is the difference between the way Warren won and Coakley lost?
When you look at the map and you look at the town-by-town vote totals, it's very interesting because Scott Brown won many of the same communities that he had won in 2010. He won some of them by smaller margins, though. And Elizabeth Warren won many of the same communities that Martha Coakley won, but by much larger margins. Boston is the best illustration of all. Warren won it 3-1, about 75-25. Martha Coakley won it 68-32. Now, that's in part because we've got a presidential election, and so we're going to have turnout among folks in urban areas who don't ordinarily vote. It's also that Mayor Menino in Boston turned out the vote on behalf of Warren in a way that he really didn't or couldn't when Martha Coakley ran.
The whole women question is fascinating, too. I mean, this is the first woman who has ever served Massachusetts in the United States Senate, and I believe with the possible exception of the accidental governor, Jane Swift, who has served as governor.
That's correct. And it's an unusual glass ceiling because we do have women who've won statewide office. Martha Coakley, for example, is attorney general, and our state auditor, Suzanne Bump. But cracking that barrier of governor or senator has been something that women have not been able to do until this cycle. It's good to remind ourselves, we were among about 30 states that have never sent a woman to the Senate. It's not as if we're some haven for misogyny and unwilling to do it. It's a barrier in a number of states across the country. What's different is we are surrounded by states who have elected women to statewide positions,
and
governor or senator.
For goodness sakes, this is Massachusetts, you know, the home of Harvard and MIT and feminism and all the rest of it, and yet we couldn't get our stuff together to do this.
That's true, and but it speaks as much to women's pathways into politics as anything. Where is our bench? How do women get into politics? We've only elected 4 women to the House of Representatives in our history as well. It is said that more women were hanged at the Salem witch trials than have served in Congress from Massachusetts. And my history colleagues here at the university confirm those numbers. So it's as much about the barriers that exist to women getting into electoral politics at a level where they can win statewide office.
We know that the storm was a tremendous intervening variable in places like New Jersey, Chris Christie and his famous good remarks about the president. But the storm also hit Boston. What happened?
It hit Boston, but in terms of the damage and the effect and the power outages, it was far less severe. And we had a poll in the field during the storm and after the storm, so I was watching those power outages each night to make sure that our geographic distribution of survey respondents looked like the state. And it did. But within 48 hours, we had in the whole state only about 77,000 households without power, much less of an impact than we saw in New York and New Jersey, for sure, and in Connecticut, for that matter.
And while we're on the subject, what is the voting behavior difference between those of us who live in Western Massachusetts, like you and me, and those who live over there in Boston?
It's not all that different if you break it down. Here in Western Massachusetts, Berkshire, Franklin, and Hampshire counties tend to vote more progressive. Hampden County is a place where Scott Brown rolls up good numbers, and he did in this cycle as well. Boston is the other place where liberal candidates need to roll up large majorities, because we see the center part of the state and the North Shore are the places where Republicans tend to run very strong.
Now, what are the names of those communities, just in case anybody's listening from, you know, Vermont or Connecticut or our other constituencies? In other words, what are the names of those cities and towns that tend to be more conservative?
Well, here in Hampden County, it's places like Agawam, Longmeadow, Westfield, Munson, Wilbraham, just this tier of communities along the southern part of the state. And then in the north-central part of the state, along the Route 2 corridor, places like Leominster and Fitchburg and Gardner and Athol, those are all areas where a conservative candidate or even a moderate Republican candidate can put together some votes. And then in the northeast, in Essex County, communities like Peabody, and of course Scott Brown's hometown of Wrentham, Republicans can run up decent numbers there as well.
When we look back on this and other races that you've been looking at, do we see any movement from blue to red in Massachusetts?
I think it depends on the cycle. And the presidential cycle, no. And the best illustration we have of that is the outcome in the 6th House District in northeastern Massachusetts, again, an area where Republicans tend to run very strong. We had John Tierney, a Democrat, running for re-election.
Running for his life.
Running for his life, literally. And there was much speculation that the party was abandoning him in terms of support, because his wife's family has tremendous legal difficulties of a criminal nature, and the entire campaign was built around what did John Tierney know and when did he know it. His opponent, Richard Tessay, was the former Senate minority leader in the state Senate, former lieutenant governor nominee for the Republicans, well-financed, widely expected to win and could not win. And that, I'm convinced, is because it was a presidential election cycle. If this had been a midterm cycle where we'd have lower turnout, I think Tessay would have won.
Well, to say the least, Tim Versalotti, we love having you on. Sorry about that.
Well done.
And we'll be talking to you real soon again.
I look forward to it.